All right, welcome everyone. Let's get started. So, the recording thinks that we're at Foxman Torah Institute 2. Oh, no, that's as opposed to 1. Okay, fine. It's all good. Gotta get our own name on that. Okay, good morning, everyone. So this is Spending the Seder with Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik unfortunately couldn't join us this morning, so I'm here in his stead. But the idea here is that I think usually a Haggadah Shir tends to, again, you bounce around. You bounce around and you get different ideas and different Torah, Vartlach, whatever, from different voices and from different personalities. And there's something to be said for taking a little bit more, I don't know how deep a dive we're going to have an opportunity to do, but a little bit more of a deep dive into one personality, into one perspective. And we'll do that this week with Rav Soloveitchik, we'll do that next week with Rav Asher Weiss, and hopefully we get a sense, a little bit of a taste of their style, the kinds of interpretations and the kinds of perushim they tend to go for, which aside from just providing us with some beautiful Torah en route to the Seder, and beautiful Torah hopefully to share at the Seder as well, it gives us a little sense of the uniqueness and the unique personalities and styles of drush and explanation that is offered by various Rabbanim, various Darshanim, various Gedolim, as we turn our attention towards the Seder. Let me just open up the Rambam here, which will become very, very important, and that's hopefully an element that you'll notice, that when we deal with the Rav's Torah, the Rambam looms large, which it tends to in the world of Brisk. All right, let's get going here. So, what better a place to begin than with Halach Ma'anya? Halach Ma'anya is the introduction to the Seder, and it is where the Perushim usually begin. Halach Ma'anya is the introduction. We turn to everybody and we note that this that we hold up is the bread of affliction. It's an unusual introduction. Why specifically do we introduce the Seder in this capacity? Why would we begin Magid, which is a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We are meant to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we begin by inviting, we begin with an introduction. Part of what's so unusual, and this is pointed out by many, many Mefarshim, is that this, first of all, Kol Yetzirchei V'Yifsach is nearly impossible, because the only manner in which somebody can actually come and participate in the Karban Pesach is if he was already signed up. Right, the Karban Pesach works for all those who are minuyim upon it. Anyone who is already counted, anybody who is already included. If you haven't already been included and it wasn't shechted with kavana that it was going to be for you at the time, that the Karban was actually shechted to begin with on Erev Pesach, that's it, it's over, it's done. So how disingenuous an invitation is this? Even kol dichven yesei v'yechol, the idea that we're inviting, if you're hungry, then you come in and you should eat. We're not serious about it. Right? The door is closed. There are points at which we open the door. We open the door at Shvocha Mascha. We open the door to invite Eliyahu in. There are points of the Seder when we go out and we open the door, but this is not one of them. So who are we speaking to? Anybody who we've invited is already there, and anybody who's not there, we're not really inviting. So what is the point? What is the purpose? And how does this integrate and interact with the actual mitzvah? Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Rav said a couple of interesting things. Number one, that when it comes to, first of all, yes, this is an act. It's an act. It might not be a real and genuine, sincere invitation, but it says a lot. The fact that we even go through these motions really says a great deal about what Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim actually is. The Rav Soloveitchik noted that, and this is actually part of the question, but the Gemara in Tainus on Daf Chaf Amud Beis quotes from Rav Huna. Rav Huna would say a version of this before every meal. He would say something to the effect of Kol Dichven Yesei V'Yechol before every single Seuda. The Rav notes that this is an important introduction before we begin because of the principle of Ma Shekana Eved Kana Rabo. If you're an Eved, if you're indeed a slave, then you have nothing of your own to actually offer to anybody else. The idea, the statement that I could theoretically, even though it's true the door is closed, even though this might be disingenuous for this moment right now, what it's reflective of is that I have my own stuff, I have my own food, I have my own items that I'm capable of sharing with other people. That is a statement of cheres. That's a statement that I'm free, that's a statement that I'm capable of sharing with somebody else. If I was an Eved, I would be incapable of sharing anything because nothing would be mine. No Eved has the right to open the door or to offer any sort of invitation to anybody to come and partake of his master's food. If we are in a position to be able to do so, even though, yes, the door is closed, we're not actually inviting, but just going through that motion very much sets the tone and sets the stage for Liros HaSatzma, that we're viewing ourselves very, very much as free men. We're viewing ourselves as free people. It's an indication of bialis. Rav didn't say this, at least not in the piece that I saw. This is, by the way, predicated heavily, heavily on Sefer Harei Kedem, which was compiled by one of Rav Soloveitchik's Talmidim, Rav Michal Shurkin, who is a Magid Shir in Yeshivas Torah Moshe in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. And there's a section with his Pirushim on the Haggadah. So this might be my own further explanation, at least in Rav Shurkin's words. Rav Soloveitchik did not specifically make this point, but it's an interesting thing to reflect upon, that an act of chesed is not only what we do because it's nice and because it's appropriate, but it's actually a demonstration of chayrus. And the idea that when we become b'nei chorin, the way that we demonstrate chayrus is not only by taking for ourselves, it's not only by enjoying ourselves, but that the first thing that we do, again, even just going through the motions, even just making the statement, the focus is that we now have the ability to actually share with others. When you don't know where your next meal is coming from, it's very, very difficult to share with anyone else. Whatever little bit you might have, you just stuff into your own pockets. And largely, we don't even have our own. The idea that we have our own and the first statement that we make on the Seder night that's an indication that we are free is that now, Baruch Hashem, we have the ability, we have the opportunity to actually provide to others as well. That's something very, very powerful and major and major as we begin the Seder. That's kol dichven yesei v'yechol. Kol ditzrich yesei v'yifsach may be something else. So first of all, the Rav suggests that this may be really predicated. I saw two different ideas here and two different perushim. But kol dichvin yesei v'yechol. Anybody who's hungry, let him come and eat. Kol ditzrich yesei v'yifsach. Anybody who's hungry, let him come and yifsach. Let him come and... Let him come. No. Let him come. Oh, you could sit next to Aaron. Okay, fine. You could choose your son over your son-in-law. I won't be offended. That's okay. All right. And your grandson is cuter than me, so that's fine. Kol ditzrich yesei v'yifsach. If you are in need, come and yifsach. And be Pesach dick. And have Pesach. Have Pesach. So does that refer to the carbon Pesach? The problem with saying that it refers to the carbon Pesach is, again, if you are already manui on the carbon Pesach, you're already appointed, we already had kavana for you when we shechted the carbon Pesach, then you can come. Right now, it's really too late. Nevertheless, it still may be reflective of an idea and of a theme. The Rav suggests as follows. Pasuk in Parshas Bo, when we're first told about the carbon Pesach in Mitzrayim, Pasuk says as follows, "V'im yim'at habayis michos miseh." If there will be too few people for the sake of the entire lamb, or the entire goat, whatever it is that you're using for the carbon Pesach, what happens if there's more meat than there are people in your family? So what do you do? We know the story. So then it's not only going to be him, but it'll also be his neighbor who's close to him in culmination, in tandem. When you get together, then you'll have enough people for the set. There's actually machlokas in the Gemara if it is mutter, if it actually works, to shech the carbon Pesach just for a yachid. Can you shech the carbon Pesach just for an individual? We paskin that yes, you can. But it's very, very clear in the Rambam that it's far less than ideal. That the lechatchila is that we only shecht a carbon Pesach. This isn't only out of a logistical necessity. That if there is going to be too much meat for the number of people, we want to make sure the carbon Pesach gets finished. We want to make sure that there isn't any nosar, there's nothing left over, so then we'll need more people. But that the Rambam understands that it's actually a lechatchila specifically to try to shecht for a multitude of people, for a number of people. So Soloveitchik suggested that, again, this statement, even though we're not actually inviting people to the carbon Pesach, even though there is no carbon Pesach bizman hazeh, it's a powerful statement about what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind when he first told us to get together for Pesach. Kol dichven yesei v'yechol is saying that if people are hungry and if there is a specific need, so then we need to take care of them. We need to turn our cheres outwards towards the needs of others, not just taking ourselves. Kol ditzrich yesei v'yifsach, the idea of carbon Pesach being shared by multiple people, states a need and an imperative for community. Even if there are no needs, the idea of just getting together with other people, just having Shavas Achim Gamyacha, just having Reyes, just being able to partner together with people and enjoy the presence and the company of other people, is also a very powerful and important statement about what it means to really become a nation. It's this night. It's this night that we're commemorating, that we're taking stock of the fact that we become a nation. Being a nation means sharing lives with other people, even when there are no needs specifically, at least no pronounced needs. Yeah?
Maybe there is a need when someone does it communally, not for himself, for Yechida, then he has in mind that people who might need, and therefore it's considered that even though you didn't have a kafana,
but still, if somebody else has a need, so then they can come. So that's along the lines. So just one other point here. One other point here, and I'm going to get to that. But it may be, and maybe again, this is my own thought also, that it could be here as well, that as an introduction to Cheros, as an introduction to Cheros, not only that this is one of the halachos of Karban Pesach, but specifically, it's very difficult. I mean, we've read stories, these remarkable stories about in the camps and in the ghettos and during the Shoah, people getting together. But it wasn't easy. It's not easy gathering together as a group when you're a slave. The idea that I can get together with friends in of itself is a statement of cheros. The idea that that's how we use our cheros, specifically to join together with other people, and even if there aren't necessarily needs. The Rav suggests also that this may be another insight. It might be something of a double entendre. The fourth question. Fourth question and the fourth, I guess the fourth answer, but the fourth question, the fourth exclamation, that when we ask, why is it that on all of the nights we can eat in whatever posture we want? And Allah azu kulanu misubin. So we take that as literally that we're may save, right? That we recline, that we incline, that we lean over and we eat as royalty. Rav noted that the term misubin often connotes, in Chazal, often connotes an idea of eating together. Think about when we bench. If you're not eating in your own house, and you're not necessarily eating in anybody else's house either, so there's no point in asking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless me and my family, nor am I asking him to bless the Baal HaBayis. So we're kind of like in this in-between space. What do we do, let's say, when we're in the shul? HaRachman Yivarech Es Kol HaMisubin Kan. Misubin means leaning and reclining, and that's the posture in which people once upon a time ate, but misubin has a connotation specifically to eating together. And maybe that's part of the kavana behind the fourth question. Why is it tonight we make a point dafka of eating together? Why is it that, you know, sometimes in Shabbos, sometimes in Yom Tov, we have company, and sometimes we're by ourselves. Sometimes it's just the family. And now we make a point specifically of getting together in large groups, and we're making invitations. There are other people who are seated around the table. Family comes in, other guests, other people. That may be part of the kavana of Kol Ham Misubin Kan. Why is it that tonight, specifically, that Kulanu Misubin? Saw another idea. This is actually from Rabbi Ganak's Haggadah. Rabbi Ganak wrote Haggadah compiling some of the Rav's ideas, and this is along the lines, I think, of what you were saying, that whereas Kol Dichvin, there's a difference between Kol Dichvin and Kol Ditzrich. Both connote needs, but Dichvin is specific. It's pronounced. It's pointed. I can identify specifically what it is that you need. You need food. Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol. You need food. I'm going to provide you with food. And that's a very important expression of cheros. If I'm free and I have the means and I have the ability and I'm not enslaved, then I need to take care of your needs. But we should be mindful of the fact that taking care of somebody else's needs is beyond just something that you can point to. When there's something clear and present that's lacking, yes, of course we should respond. What do you need? You need shelter. You need food. You need a shidduch. You need a place to stay. You're homeless. You're without. You don't have any gas in the tank. I need to actually provide something for you. I need to work. Need to endeavor to actually provide that need. Whatever it is that you're lacking, Kol Ditzrich is much broader. Whatever you need, whatever needs there may be, those are the people who should participate in the Karban Pesach. Those are the people that we're going to get together with. Sometimes a person is just lonely. Sometimes a person just needs a friend. Sometimes a person just needs a place. I need to feel that I'm a part of somebody else's Seder. I need to feel that I'm part of a community. And it's not something that I could clearly identify. You just need a conversation. You just need a listening ear. You just need somebody that you can engage with and interact with. Sometimes you just need to sit around somebody else's table, and that's all that I need. I have food in the refrigerator. I have food in the pantry. I have 25 boxes of matzah at home. I have charos. I have everything that I need in a physical sense. There's nothing that you could identify that I'm actually lacking, but I need you. I just need a friend. I just need to be part of somebody else's family. That's called Ditzrich Yesei V'Yifsach. It's more broad. It's the Pesach in general, and the idea that when it comes to the Seder night, we make a point of specifically bringing other people together. Again, all of this, it's not an invitation for right now. We're not opening the door. We're not going out to the streets. But it is a statement of the way that we're supposed to view ourselves, what we're supposed to be engaged in. Once we become B'nai Chorin, how is it that we're supposed to turn that Cheirus outwards?
You have to eat the Pesach a la sova. So
right.
it can't really be that you have this.
Hair.
I think dichvin is basically opening it up to you kind of share my chagiga or.
You're actually hungry, all the more hungry, so.
Whereas the Pesach, you have a need because it's a halachic imperative.
Great. Okay, fine. Okay. It's a halachic imperative to come. But also, meaning it's an interesting point that by definition, if you need a Pesach, then we're talking about things that are beyond just the hole in my belly. It might be a hole somewhere else. It might be a hole in my spirit. It might be a hole in my social life. Holes elsewhere that we should also be mindful of and also be conscious of specifically. And practically, not just that it's lip service, not just, oh, that's a nice idea. Okay, next. Right, but that as we're actually planning our siddurim. So you're actually planning our siddurim, right? What are the who are people in our orbit who feel like maybe could benefit just from being able to be around our table and maybe don't so easily have tables themselves? Okay, avadam hayinu lefar b'mitzrayim v'yotzienu Hashem Elokeinu misham b'yad chazakah v'zeronu tuya. So I never noticed this. I never knew this. V'yotzienu Hashem Elokeinu is not the expression. It's not the expression. We don't say v'yotzienu Hashem Elokeinu. There are two psukim in Sefer Dvarim. V'amarta levincha avadim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim v'yotzienu Hashem mimitzrayim b'yad chazakah. Hashem took us out from Mitzrayim. This is what we relate to our children. Later on, v'yotzienu Hashem mimitzrayim b'yad chazakah uzera netuya. Hashem took us out with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. We don't say Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Elokeinu is not the kinui that we use for Hashem when we're speaking about v'yotzienu, how Hashem took us out. Why is Elokeinu inserted in the Haggadah in a way that it's not actually present in the Psukim? Why does the Baal Haggadah make a point of including Hashem Elokeinu or Elokim? So the Rav suggested that Elokim connotes not just, these are my own words, but not just freedom from, not just that we have been extricated from the Avdus, from the Shibud in Mitzrayim, but that now we have freedom towards. We can actually dedicate ourselves towards something else. Towards, specifically, service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The last phase of Geula, the culmination of Geula, Hotzesi, Hitzalti, Ga'alti, Lakachti. I don't know how conscious we are of this. Lakachti is not just Lakachti. It's not just, oh, I took you out of Mitzrayim. No! Lakachti is not I took you out of Mitzrayim. Lakachti is Lakachti li la'am. I took you to me as a nation. It's a reference to Matan Torah. It's a reference to the bris between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's something that we can almost too easily, we'll see this as a theme throughout the Haggadah according to the Rav. It's a theme that almost too easily we can outsource to Shavuos. Yeah, Matan Torah. Yeah, like the real bris between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, in 49 days from now, that's when we're really going to focus on that. The suggestion is that the Baal Haggadah insists that there be no daylight between Pesach, as in freedom from Mitzrayim, and Matan Torah, the bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, freedom towards, the ability to dedicate ourselves towards something else. This is a common theme in general amongst the Bali Musar, that if we are only free from something else, and we no longer have the external taskmaster, so then we'll only become enslaved to ourselves, our own impulses, our own desires, our own interests. And if there is nothing more ennobling that we can dedicate ourselves for, no greater cause, nothing that we can dedicate ourselves to, then we're lost anyway. Chazal say, "Ein ben chorin el misha oseg b'torah," that a person becomes a ben chorin truly when they have not only the ability, but they actually do engage in Torah. Torah and study of Torah is an exercise in modeling, in molding, in forming, in shaping our own das, our own way of looking at things, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. Saying that I'm not going to just rest on my own laurels and view things the way that I feel free to or that I choose to, but that I'm going to make a point specifically of dedicating myself towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the pasuk?
Because during Yetzias Mitzrayim, the people weren't allowed to leave unless they did all those mitzvos. Like,
prior to,
yeah.
Right. That's why we have that. That's why we had a bikur of the carbon Pesach for extra days to be able to generate all these zechuyos. 100%. Right. meaning that if you are free, first of all, freedom is not a given, right? There's no sense of entitlement that I ought to be free just because I ought to be free, right? It's my right. It's my inalienable right. We're not so high on that in Judaism. We're not so high on rights. We're high on service. We're high on dedication. We're high on responsibilities. Not just that I have this inalienable right to do whatever it is that I feel free to and that I choose to, freedom from anybody else telling me what to do, but that freedom creates an opportunity to become better, to become more holy, to become more special, to become dedicated to a much greater cause. So the Rav pointed to the following pasuk. Here's where you find Elokim. Vayomer ki ehe imach. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he's explaining to him why it is that he specifically has to be chosen and what's going to happen. You're going to go back to Mitzrayim. This is at the snap. You'll go to Mitzrayim. You'll redeem the people. And here's what's going to ultimately take place. Vayomer ki ehe imach. Vizelecha ha'os. Here's the sign. Ki anochi shalachticha, that I'm the one who sent you. But tiacha sa'am in Mitzrayim. When you will take the nation out of Mitzrayim. Ta'avdun es ha'elokim al ha'har hazeh. You will serve Elokim at this mountain. Elokim has the connotation of our service of Hashem, that we answer to Hashem. Hashem is our master. Hashem is our God. The fact is, we use the term Elohim even in the Chol to refer to other gods, lowercase g. When we apply it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has the connotation of we must worship you. We must service you. So he suggests, Soloveitchik suggests, that perhaps this is why the Baal Haggadah inserts it here. Again, said there's no daylight between freedom from and freedom towards. The moment we celebrate being free from Mitzrayim, it demands the direction of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of worshiping Hashem. And without it, then what freedom is there to celebrate anyway?
Maybe the Baal Haggadah was mimicking the Shema Yisrael.
Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Yeah. Why? Yeah, so... Wrap a bow around it. But why now? And why in the context of Ayotienu? It's also, we don't find it striking, right? This happens every now and again. It happens with, I find it a lot with Tfilos and Piyutim, that there is imagery that's like dropped into Slichos, that's dropped into Kinos, that's trapped into different piyutim of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that's actually a pasuk. We only know that it's a pasuk. We only know that it has a certain motif because Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Nassim Sherman, at the bottom of the Yerushalayim, he wrote, this is like a pasuk in Yechezkel. In theory, we should have Tanakh sufficiently at our fingertips that, that's the conversation that Aaron had with Moshe when he was begging that he daven and that he go to bat for Miriam after he and Miriam spoke with Shinar and they were caught red-handed in that chait, and now they want expiation, they want tshuva. Oh, that's like in I spoke with this one in Hinnani. Oh, there are all these references that the Chazan is on this very very important derech on behalf of the klal, and there are references to Eliezer. The way that Eliezer speaks about how, what is it? Hatzleach Hashem Darki, something along those lines. There are expressions that are clearly, clearly reminiscent of Eliezer turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asking, "Please make sure that my path is successful," and that, like my high, we're supposed to view what we are all doing on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's cosmic. It's huge. It's just as important as Eliezer trying to find the shidduch for that next generation, right? Trying to find one of the imahos, trying to build the actual nation. It's no smaller. This is, everything is on the line. And here too also, so it could be there to reference to Hashem Elokeinu.
It said the same thing, Hashem Elokeinu, God of mercy and judgment. First he took us as out of mercy, but to the point of Rav Soloveitchik, Elokeinu, we should follow his ways, and because we're going to be judged in the future.
Okay, fine. I think either way, it's a standout. That Vayotzienu, meaning Hashem Elokeinu, is something that we're familiar with from Shema. Vayotzienu goes with Hashem, meaning if we're familiar with Sefer Devarim, Vayotzienu is Hashem. It's not Hashem Elokim, it's not Hashem Elokeinu. And where Elokim occurs in the narrative of Pesach is when we're talking about going to the mountain. Right? Elokim means serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means accepting Torah. And that all needs to be wrapped up. We should not be outsourcing the idea of the celebration of Talmud Torah happens on Shavuos. This is Pesach, and therefore it's something else. That's at least his thought, his idea. By the way, he also notes that just Avadim Hayinu Lefarah B'Mitzrayim, the expression Avadim Hayinu Lefarah B'Mitzrayim could otherwise be expressed as Avdei Paro Hayinu. Avdei Paro Hayinu. We were Avdei Paro. The difference between Avadim Hayinu Lefarah and Avdei Paro is that one becomes definitional. One, saying Avdei Paro is an identity. I am an Eved Paro. That's what I am at my core. As opposed to, I'm an Eved who happens to be serving Paro. Paro has some sort of lean on me, but it's not in my core what I am. What am I really? I'm an Eved Hashem. And that's expressed through Elokim. The idea of that Bohotiacha Esa'am Mimitzrayim Tavdun Esa Elokim. Again, there you have Veyotzi Enu. In the capacity of Elohim, when it's connected to specifically the bris with Hashem, Matan Torah, that we go to Har Sinai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Torah, I'm not an Eved Paro. I was never an Eved Paro. I am at my core an Eved Hashem, and that's all wrapped up sort of in this passage, in this paragraph.
Shema is Kabbalah's Olam.
Right, meaning that's the connotation of Elokim, right? Elokim is yes, it's an ol, it's a yoke that I have responsibility. I have responsibility. It's not only that Hashem, you're so vast, but it speaks specifically to my relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it's doing in Shema. Also, that's what it's doing here in this pasuk as well. There is some of what we've already discussed ties into this, but the Rav has, they're presented as different ideas, different thoughts, but there's really a theme. There's a long theme that Soloveitchik streams and he weaves throughout the Haggadah about the nature of how we engage in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. How do we do it? What's the mechanism? What's the vehicle? So just keep in the back of your mind that the most obvious, and many discuss this, the most obvious approach to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim would be to quote from which Parshios? Shmos, Va'era, Bo, Bishalach. And we basically don't. Right? There are allusions every now and again, and we quote some of those psukim. But the core, we'll get to this, the core is Arami Ovid Avi, which is sort of an odd selection. It's an odd selection. We take these four, and it's like this. It's like we take these four psukim, and then, that doesn't really say much. So then we take each one of the four psukim and we darshan up. Oh, this word refers to this. These three psukim in Parshas Bo, and this word refers to this, and this is what happens, and this refers to the avdus, and we have this medrash and that chazal. It's like so bad where we take these four psukim that are so tight and so terse that demand that they be explicated, rather than just taking a whole swath of those psukim that would actually present the story in a much more expansive kind of way. So we take something that is shorthand as a means of then being able to darshan it, rather than just presenting the actual story as it unfolds, sort of in real time, so to speak, in the Chumash itself.
And it's from
Shuras. And it's from, the Bikurim. Right. Oh, it's also, that's an interesting, that's really an interesting idea.
It's also storytelling.
Okay, yeah, meaning?
Meaning that the Arami Obed Avi is an example not of the way, obviously it's in the Torah, but it's not firsthand how it happened in the way the Torah.
I'm relating.
It's a model for how we process and frame and tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and also how it led to Knisat Haaretz,
right,
the Torah. And so it really sets, it's not just recounting events, but it also is a model for how we want to frame and tell the story that we can use on Seder Night.
Right.
It's
right.
Also Masa Siman Levanim in a way, because it was under the auspices of being an Eved, so to speak, to Lavan, that Yaakov first became a people, a nation, having all his children there, and then he left. And it's very similar to what happened in Eretz Yisrael, that
right,
somehow out of there we became a people, out of this Kuah Mazel, that.
Right. Right. So we're going through that process. What we end up doing, though, which is sort of unusual, again, is that we end up having to darshan. Meaning it doesn't flow, especially, right? We take a pasuk and then we chop it up and we dissect it and we say, well, this word means this and that word means that, and now we do it again. Now there's this next pasuk and we do the exact same thing all over again. It's sort of it's sort of contrived, but let's think about why. So, first of all, we say mitzvah lino l'sapir b'tzias Mitzrayim, that it is a mitzvah upon us, it is incumbent upon us. This is still in Avadim Hayinu. Mitzvah lino l'sapir b'tzias Mitzrayim, v'cholamar b'lisapir b'tzias Mitzrayim, harei zeh meshubach. We are praiseworthy for doing so. So one, point of grammar or language that the Rav points out, you see his fascination and obsession with every word and the connotation of every word, and almost Rishon-like in that capacity. Mitzvah linu l'sapir b'yitzias Mitzrayim, sort of an odd formulation. One would think that it would be mitzvah linu l'sapir al yitzias Mitzrayim, that we speak about yitzias Mitzrayim. L'sapir b'yitzias Mitzrayim, we speak about yitzias Mitzrayim, or l'sapir Sipur es hasipur, l'saper es sipur yitzias Mitzrayim. What does it mean, mitzvah alinu l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim? So, and there's certainly a Yiddish of this, but at least in Yeshivish, Yinglish, I don't know. In Yinglish, we say when you get together with somebody, I want to go visit that Rosh Yeshiva. I want to go visit that Gadol. I want to go see the Rosh Yeshiva because I want to talk to him in learning. I want to talk to him in learning, which is grammatically sends a shudder down your spine. But that's how we say it. Talking and learning. They were talking and learning. Talking and learning. It's a beautiful phrase. It's a really beautiful phrase because it has the connotation of really of being in it. Of being in something. We're not talking about, we're not talking about the sugya. We are in this, we're a part of it. We're so enveloped in whatever it is that we're learning that we're speaking, it becomes almost its own language. We are so ensconced in the language of this sugya, in the language of this halacha, in the language of whatever it is that we're learning. That is what we're talking in. The Rav says that's l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim. It connotes that we're enveloped, that we're inside of it, that we're a part of it, that it almost flows naturally because we have so entrenched ourselves in that language. The language of the night is Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're being Mesaper B Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that when it comes to this idea of specifically Harezeh Meshubach, so the Rav quotes something interesting. He says, brings from the Rambam. The Rambam, at the very beginning of the seventh parak of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, says as follows. Very beginning of Parak Zayin, Halacha Aleph. Mitzvah Sase Shal Torah L'Sapir B'Nisan V'Niflo Shenasu L'Avosinu B'Mitzrayim B'Leil Chamisha Asar B'Nisan, that we need to speak about all these things on the 15th night of Nisan. Shnemar Zachor Es Hayom Hazeh Asher Yitzasem B'Mitzrayim. That you should remember, this is fascinating, you should remember Zachor Es Hayom Hazeh Asher Yitzasem Mimitzrayim. K'mo shenemar, Zachor es Yom HaShabbos. Just like we say Zachor es Yom HaShabbos, so we have Zachor es Hayom Hazeh Asher Yitzasem Mimitzrayim. Now, Minayin Shebelel Chamish Asar, so he compares it to the mitzvah of Zechira of Shabbos. Minayin Shebelel Chamish Asar, Talmud Lomar. How do you know that it specifically has to be on the night of the 15th? Pasuk says, V'gata Levimcha Be'yomahu Le'mor Bavur Zeh B'Shashiyesh Matzu Mar Munachim Lefanecha. 15th. Specifically, because that's when matzah and mara are before you, and it says bavur zeh. Bavur zeh always has the connotation that we're pointing to something, something tangible that's there that we can see. Vathol pisha ein lo ben, even though he has no son, it's still a mitzvah. He says afilu chachamim gedolim chayavim l'saper b'tzias Mitzrayim. Even if we were great chachamim, we would still have a mitzvah. V'chol marich b'devarim she'irau, and anyone who's marich, anybody who engages in a lengthier version, hareza meshubach. She'ira v'shahayu, whatever it is that took place, whatever transpired, here is a meshubach. So that is praiseworthy. So the Rav notes that the Rambam has these three, what really are three discrete halachas at the end of this halacha. Number one, even if you don't have a child. Number two, even if you're a genius, and even if you know everything. And number three, that the more you do, hari is a meshubach. What's the connection between all three of them? I think obviously so. The connection between all three of them is that the first two are supported by the third. The idea that I have a mitzvah even if I don't have anybody to convey it to, the idea that I have a chiyuv even if I already know it, is supported by the fact that the more we do so, harei zeh meshubach. Why is it Hareza Meshubach? Because it is beyond just the mere conveying of information. It's not just the information. It's not just the story. It's not just the narrative. It's not just to say what happened and then, okay, I gave you that message. I packaged that together and now you have it and now you know it and now we can move on. It's much more than that. It's engagement. It's being involved. It's being entrenched in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hareza Meshubach is what teaches me that even if I don't have a child, I still have the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is not just to convey. It's not just to tell. It's not just to relate. The mitzvah isn't just for people who don't know or to provide that information, to convey that information to somebody who doesn't know. The mitzvah is to actually, it's to talk in Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's l'saper b'Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's to be engaged on that level and to that degree. It's interesting that the Rambam actually compares this. The Rambam compares it to Zacharias Yom HaShabbos. Zacharias Yom HaShabbos, the Rav actually mentions, not specifically about this, he has a suggestion. We'll see another answer to this. Why is it that there's no bracha on Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Make a bracha on matzah, make a bracha on maror. There's no shir. There's at least a minimal, there are certain things that have to be conveyed. So the Rav says that there is no bracha that's recited on a mitzvah whose true kiyum is belave. If truly the fulfillment of the mitzvah resides in your heart, in your emotions, in your spirit, it's not, which is along the lines of there not being a shir, if there's nothing formal that could be pointed to as saying that, okay, you've done it, then you can't really make a bracha. The Maharal says this about Simchas Yontif. The reason why there's no bracha on Simchas Yontif, there isn't really a mitzvah, a bracha on, there's no birkas ha-mitzvah even on Yontif. We say Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. It's not a birkas ha-mitzvah. There's certainly no birkas ha-mitzvah on Simchas Yontif because it's a state. Am I glad? Am I happy? Do I feel that I'm lifnei Hashem? So that's something that occurs in one's heart and therefore you don't really make a bracha on it. So the Rav points out that Rashi on Zacharis Yom HaShabbos, he says that the Lashon of Zachar, Rashi says, Tenu Lev Lizkor. Tenu Lev Lizkor. That you should pay attention, there should be something internally in your heart about remembering, about feeling that something special is going on, something's taking place. It's not just reciting words, it's not just making a statement, there's something internal. It's interesting that the term that we use for Mitzrayim is also Zachor. Zachor, Zachiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, to remember. He doesn't make this point on this halacha in the Rambam, but it's fascinating that when the Rambam introduces the idea of Hareza Meshubach, he begins that halacha with the comparison between Zachor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho and Zachor es Hayom Hazeh. And perhaps this is an introduction to the idea that if it's supposed to be something that's belayed, if it's supposed to be a feeling, then it's not just a matter of like packaging certain information and conveying it. Did you say the words? I said the words. Did you say Avadam Hayinu? I said Avadam Hayinu. Did they ask Manashtana? They asked Manashtana. I said Avadam Hayinu. I said Arami Yavad Avi. Check, 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 check. I got it. It's more than that. It's being involved. It's being engaged. It's darshaning. It's speaking that language. It's speaking those words and increasing and adding to the story as much as we possibly can. Both, by the way, in terms of the actual narrative and also even in terms of halachos. That's very clear throughout the actual Haggadah itself, that it applies to all things Yetzias Mitzrayim. We should be engaged, we should be involved. It's a kiyum b'lev, and maybe that's also why there's no pasuk. Why there's no bracha, I'm sorry.
Why isn't the bracha indirectly halal for Yantif or anything?
Why is there?
No, there's indirectly the bracha.
Okay, granted. Granted, but that's really for the mitzvah of halal. What's interesting about the mitzvah of halal, you'd almost think that that should fall into the same category. But maybe not. Maybe halal is a chiyuv you have to recite specific words of praise. I feel dead inside. I don't feel the least bit grateful, inspired, moved. Fine, but you fulfill the mitzvah. Sherekat the shana mitzvah savat tivanu likro es ha'alel. But maybe I don't know. Just we don't make a birkas ha-mitzvah. There's no birkas ha-mitzvah in kriyashma. Maybe for the same thing, because the real purpose is to be makabel. You're saying olmach u'shamayim. Certain mitzvahs that may be the case for. So the Rambam, of course, tells us, and this is exactly what we do. This is in Chametz Matzah, this is Halacha Dalet. We should darshan from Arami Oved Avi, uses that term, Yidrosh. That the more you increase the darshaning of this parsha, and again, it's backwards. We take these four psalkim, and then this means this, and that means that. So the Rav says that, yeah, exactly. It's an exercise in Talmud Torah. It's an exercise in Talmud Torah, and the principles that we use to explicate these psukim are those same principles that we use whenever we dash in psukim. Because it is about more than just specific information, specific things happen, and I'm just passing it on. It's a part of it, it's a portion of it. Certain things do have to be recited. But the reason for kol mosef hareza meshubach, the reason why it's specifically yidrosh, is for this same reason. It's to engage in a process of limud. It's to engage in a process of Talmud Torah. It's to delve, it's to understand, it's to analyze, it's to be mechadesh, to come up with new ideas, to come up with novel approaches, novel interpretations about what took place and what happened. Medrash, Gemara, Halacha, Chazal, etc., etc. An interesting point that the Rav makes, and he actually leaves this as a tzarachian, and I'm sort of surprised by it. I thought it was like a slam dunk. He says, Rabbi Seinu, when we get to the story of Bnei Brak, what happens? The Talmidim come in, what do they say? Rabbi Seinu?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, where were they for the past 20 minutes? Higizman Kriyashma Shal Shachris. When are you chayav in Kriyashma? Mishayakir. Mishayakir. Right? Once there's sufficient light to be able to tell the difference between Tchelas and Lavan. Mishayakir. When is Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim? When is that mitzvah over? Amar HaShachar. Where have you been for the past half hour? Why are you coming in now? We've been, I love it. What have we been doing? It's, at least it says it's a weird thing. Where were the Talmud? Why didn't they come in to let them know? Like, he gives me, like it's over. Okay. Like, no. I don't know. Take a nap. Come back later. I don't know. Wash Nagla Vasa. Whatever. Why are they only coming in? So he leaves it as a tzarchin. I thought along the lines of everything else that the Rav has been explaining. Maybe it's pashut. That if you're talking about something that really is supposed to be kiyum b'leiv, if you're talking about something that's not just supposed to be a dry relating and conveying of information, if you're talking about something that you're specifically supposed to be involved in, if you're supposed to be engaging in a mitzvah whose motif is drush and Talmud Torah, and we're getting involved, we're in it, l'sapir b'yitzias Mitzrayim, so then of course they didn't stop themselves. Of course they weren't watching the clock. Of course they weren't mindful. They had no idea what time it was. Of course they weren't just going, oh, that's it. Oh, it's over now. It's over now. It's the whole idea. The whole purpose, the whole point is to lose yourself in this conversation, to lose yourself in this common language on this particular night of specifically Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's a Maisa that I've heard, get this, quoted both in the name of the Brisker Rav and the Baal Shem Tov. This makes everybody happy.
Yeah.
Whatever you like. Whatever you like. For the purposes of addressing the Torah of the Brisker Rav's nephew, we'll assume that it was him. Somebody once posed the following question. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, he created for a purpose. For a purpose. A positive purpose. Why did Hashem create the propensity for kfira? Why the propensity? Why the ability to completely deny Hashem? To remove Hashem from your consciousness? To remove Hashem from your mind? What positive purpose could that possibly serve?
Bechira Chavshis. That's your whole Bechira Chavshis, right?
Ah, fine. Okay, so the problem is that probably is what the Brisker Rav would have said. But at least according to this story, he said something else. Said, what positive purpose? Why? How can that be sanctified? Why is it? When can it ever be? I mean, the question's a little bit different. When can that? When is it ever worthwhile to engage in that? And allegedly, he said, when you do chesed. When you do chesed, you're not supposed to be mindful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The reason why you do chesed is not because it's a mitzvah. It's because you love the person. If I'm busy loving Hashem, then, alright, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do X, Y, and Z. Right, then this way I'm fulfilling the hinani muchan mazum l'kayim mitzvahs, whatever. When Hashem, chesed is a fulfillment of a halachta bidrachav. Right? We're following in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's footsteps. If I'm meant to follow in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's footsteps, why does Hashem do chesed? Because he loves the person. Because he cares about that human being. That person is lacking, that person is hurting, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares. Hashem doesn't do chesed because, all right, it's a mitzvah in the Torah, I'm supposed to do chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't perform chesed because, all right, Hashem was mitzaveh, that I am Hashem. Wait a second. Hashem wasn't mitzaveh me, I'm Hashem. The reason why Hashem does chesed is because he genuinely cares. If we lose ourselves in the mitzvah, then it's hard to lose yourself in love. If you lose yourself in love and in chesed, then you should only be so mindful of the fact that, yes, this is also a mitzvah. Could be that when it comes to certain kiyumim belev, when it comes to being engaged and being involved, and I'm feeling it, I'm being lesaper b'yitzias mitzrayim, I'm having that conversation, I'm so lost that I don't know, clock, zman, shir, the zman's over, so it's not the mitzvah anymore. I wasn't so mindful of the mitzvah. I lost myself. The mitzvah was the initial trigger, perhaps, but then I lose myself in this conversation of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, and maybe that's what carried them through.
But you have to have the balance.
Always have to have the balance. Always have to have the balance, because otherwise it goes nuts.
You can't just get lost.
For sure, for sure. But meaning, what is the... Initially, I'm motivated by the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me that I'm supposed to be a certain way. What is that certain way I'm supposed to love? All right, and that is what motivates me to try to love other people. But why do I actually do chesed? I do chesed because I care for you. I do chesed because I care for you. If
you took chesed because you're halacha drunk of you, because it's emulating HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. I'm not emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't think about himself. I'm not really emulating Hashem if what's motivating me to love another person, if in the moment when I'm showing that I'm loving you is a Hashem, am I doing well? Like, is that right?
Well, you can have both. You can have intention and then intention after the intention.
So I think that's it. Meaning initially, Hashem, how am I going to make myself most like you? You want me to be like you. That's my starting point. You want me to be like you. How do I become like you? By loving somebody. I really want. I'm trying to bring myself to really love this person, to really identify with this person.
Level. Person who really doesn't feel like doing a chesed to somebody else, but he says, you know what, I love Hashem, and therefore I'm going to do this, even though it's not coming from a ratzon to be, you know, to give chesed. Or someone who just says, you know, I really feel for that person. To me, that's more Christian than anything else. You know, I'm going to give charity.
Right.
I'm going to be loving because... Right. You know, I empathize with this person.
Right.
To me, it's a higher level if you do it because it's a mitzvah.
I think it depends on where it starts from. I think it depends on where it initially comes from. I mean, again, if the starting point is I'm Hashem, I'm trying to be like you.
Mm-hmm.
If my starting point is that I care because there's a lot of this today, that there's like, you know, that there could be a sense of immorality divorced from Hashem, divorced from God, divorced from religion. We believe in no such thing, really. Right? Because you can become crazed. We do have we're created by Tzelem Elokim. We're absolutely given certain innate impulses that are godly, right? When somebody does chesed, or when somebody cares, when somebody's a rahman, even though they at least are an allegedly avowed, self-proclaimed atheist. So, yes, we believe that is still coming from something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in this person as a Tzelem Elokim. But it's rather hollow. It's rather shallow, right? Meaning you're not doing this because you have any greater interest in becoming God-like. You don't believe in God. So what is it? You're responding to your own impulse. So you have an impulse today. You have an impulse to, I don't know, to do chesed. And maybe that impulse will change. And you're responding to yourself more than responding to Hashem. But in response to Hashem, I'm trying to become like Hashem. If I'm becoming like Hashem, if I never really develop any love for another human being, and the reason why I'm doing it is because it's a mitzvah. I think it's pashut that we're missing the point. We should love another human being because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves that person. Hashem loves the person. Hashem doesn't provide for the person because it's a mitzvah. Hashem has no chiyuv to provide and to support. And we should recognize it in the backdrop. Yes, Yira, and yes, the starting point is I'm trying to emulate Hashem. I don't want to get too much off. Yeah. This is David, actually. You can't see Me'achari HaPargut here, but yeah.
It seems to me that it, in a way, it would be the opposite, in the sense that just to do it because you love Hashem, you don't like, maybe you don't even like that person. But if you're going to overcome your natural inclination because Hashem tells you to,
right?
Isn't that the bigger and greater challenge?
Maybe it is a bigger challenge, but I think if you don't like that person, shame on you. You're not close enough to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem loves that person. Why don't you love that person? So now, okay, fine. So Ba'asher Hashem, that's where I am. I don't love this person. I detest this person. That's good. But that's not the peak. The peak is not to not love and to do anyway. The peak is to love. To love that person. Hashem loves that person. Why don't you love that person? Because they're annoying. And because they're kind of a jerk. And they're stingy. and they use their phone in shul. Yeah, I have every reason to hate that person, right? But Hashem still loves that person. So, like anything in life, you know, for where I am right now, this is my Mesiras Nefesh, and this is my goal, and this is, sure, right? What's better? Maybe this will, you know, help. Is it, who gets more schar? Who's better off? I don't know how much Rav Chaim Kanievsky had my challenge. There are times that I don't want to learn. I'm not interested. Okay, but it's the daf, and I have to do it, and I know that I'm supposed to, and I feel guilty, and it's fine, so I'll do it. I'll open up I'll crack the binding, and I'll open it up, and I'll force myself. I was most nefesh for learning that day. I don't know that Rav Chaim Kanievsky ever feels that way. At least not in the past, I don't know, 80 years, right? He opens it, and he loves it. He has geschmack, and I wish I could do this all day long. Whose Talmud Torah is on a higher level? His. Undoubtedly. For me, for my level, was it good for you? Pat on the back that you forced yourself to learn even though you didn't want it? Sure. Is that his ideal? Hashem loves his Torah. The Torah is an interface between us and Hashem. Shouldn't we love that? Of course we should love that. And if we don't, then that's...
We have
to work on that.
His thing is on a higher level. I'm saying he does not... In the moment that it's so easy for him versus it was so hard for someone else, what is that?
Yeah. So my learning is great. Is better.
We say that the Olam Haba is lehefach.
No, that's not what we mean. Whoa! Lehefach Olam Hafuchos means that I get a greater chelik in Olam Haba than Rav Chaim Kanievsky.
I'm not saying I'm going to get a greater guy Kanievsky, but in terms of something's harder for me versus.
Right. Fine. So good for you. But in
terms, how do we know like that it's on?
Am I better off staying in this position, or am I better off trying to propel myself towards that position?
Oh, of course.
But that of course is a big deal. I'm better off trying to be in a position where it comes natural, where I love. I've worked on my love for it. I've worked on my Ahavas HaTorah. I've worked on my Ahavas Hashem. Am I better off serving the Kaddish Baruch Hu even though I hate him, or am I better off serving the Kaddish Baruch Hu out of love? Am I better off performing Chesed even though I hate the person? If you hate the person, good for you. You overcame your Yetzirah. Right? That's exactly what we have a mitzvah. We have a mitzvah. You're better off performing te'ina for somebody you hate than prika for somebody you love. The suggestion is, the implication is, there are people you love and people... Yes, we're human beings, right? It's not ideal. Why do you hate that person? Unless you have a chiv to hate him. But I don't think if you have a chiv to hate him, you'd necessarily have to... We should try to love. We should try to develop that. That's for where I am. Is that impressive? Yeah, good for you, Ramos and Nefesh. But anyway, I don't want to get too sidetracked. But just at least as a something with a parallel, there is something to be said for just I'm in it. I'm in Yetzias Mitzrayim. L'saper be Yetzias Mitzrayim. The clock, the time, the zman, the shir. I don't know. I'm losing myself. There is something about losing yourself in the love of the mitzvah that might actually spill over beyond the strict parameters of the mitzvah itself. That's the suggestion. One other idea about this, and then we'll end with one other quick thought. So I mentioned before that Soloveitchik suggests that maybe this is why there's no bracha. Right? All the Rishonim wonder, why is there no bracha in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Maybe because it's a Kiyum B'Lev, and whenever there's a Kiyum B'Lev, you don't actually make a bracha. He suggests that there is a bracha. This is a famous idea from the Rav. He suggests maybe there is a bracha. And it is basically right before we start all of this darshaning, more or less. How do we introduce Arami Oved Avi with the Arba Bonim? How do we introduce the Arba Banim? Right, the Arba Banim is this idea that, like, there are different streams and different modes of actually get ourselves into the, before we're really going to fulfill the mitzvah, remind ourselves that there are four different sons. How do we introduce that? Baruch HaMakom. So the Rav says Baruch HaMakom is a Birkas HaTorah. Maybe Birkas HaTorah, maybe a bracha on the mitzvah. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah La'amu Yisrael, Baruch Hu. I've heard this, Rishurkin doesn't quote this in Harry Kedem, but I've heard this from the Rav also, that as a general theme, we have Birchas HaTorah in the morning, but whenever it is that we have another mitzvah that is fulfilled through the mechanism of some bit of Talmud Torah, there's a bracha. Magid is one, Baruch HaMakom. Another, there may be others, but another is Kriyashma. there's no bracha on Kriyashma. I mentioned before, maybe there's no bracha on Kriyashma because it's really can't believe. It's a matter of belief and what I believe.
Two before and two after.
So we have birchos Kriyashma. Birchos Kriyashma are not, it's not a birchos ha-mitzvah. I don't say, bracha da shavu kem v'asher k'dishonu mitzvah v'tzivanu likros Kriyashma or al Kriyashma. Right? But they're brachos. So Rav Soloveitchik suggests that whenever it is, it's true, there might not be an actual birchos ha-mitzvah, but whenever it is that we fulfill a mitzvah through some means of Talmud Torah, there are special brachos enacted for that purpose.
You know, I'm just a thought. It could be because the mitzvah itself is a sipur. we have on Kriyas Megillah, we have on Kriyas Torah, we have on all the Kriyos, we have, so to speak, mitzvahs on it. It's specific to a certain nusach and so forth. Here we have a general chiyuv, so to
right.
speak, of sipur, which could be 10 words or it could be all night long.
Many different things, right.
So,
right.
So you know, at what point were you really a yotze?
Right.
Everyone, the longer you talk about, the better off you are.
So I think that actually goes hand in hand with this, really, meaning that if you have, it's not going to be a formal, regular, typical birkas ha-mitzvah, but again, this nod to the fact that the way that we engage is through Talmud Torah. So first of all, it means, again, the idea that the Seder is an experience of Talmud Torah is something that I don't know that we give enough thought to. There's a text, and you read the text. It's more than that. The text is an expression of Talmud Torah, which means that we are going straight. We're supposed to be celebrating Pesach and Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's like returning our attention immediately to Talmud Torah and to Har Sinai. Right, right. Because without the latter, you don't have the former. There's nothing worth celebrating freedom if we don't have Torah to engage in. So what are we going to become? We're going to become those people who are self-proclaimed atheists, self-proclaimed moral atheists. Is there such a thing? Or are you really just responding to your own impulses? This is what I feel is good and right. And if I feel that something wrong is good and right, then I'll do that. It happens to be that this aligns with the rest of society. But what are we really if we are celebrating the fact that we become free without anything to dedicate ourselves to? So that all of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is streamed through a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And there's a special birka. It's not a birkas a mitzvah, but it's almost like a birkas haTorah. It's like a birkas haTorah that this is the mechanism that we're using in order to be able to convey, in order to be able to speak, l'saper b'yetzias Mitzrayim, and right there in Baruch HaMakom, we're also taking stock of the fact, you know, there are four different children, which means that the actual, maybe that's part of it, that there, it's very difficult to frame the mitzvah in any particular way. By definition, depending on who's sitting on the other side of the table, we're going to have to change, we're going to have to tweak, we're going to have to tinker, and that's really what Talmud Torah is. Last point. I don't know. Maybe this is part of the same theme and maybe not, but such a beautiful idea. The Rav, as many want to know, why is it Baruch HaMakom? Why do we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as HaMakom? Right? HaMakom, we translate as like the omnipresent. It's the place. It's the place. And usually what it conveys is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Makomo Shel Olam. Right? It's not that Hashem is sort of trapped in the world. It's that the world is trapped in Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the umbrella into which the universe somehow or another, so to speak, fits. When do we use this term? We use HaMakom Yenachem Eschem. So we use this term. We use the term HaMakom whenever we want to convey that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present, even though ostensibly he ought not to be. Because of the time, because of the place, because of the circumstances, it stands to reason that Hashem isn't here, that there isn't going to be Gilui Shechina. He isn't going to be present. We say, HaMakom. He's everywhere. He's got to be everywhere. Whatever that means. Whatever that means. But that the entire world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Makomo Shel Olam, the whole universe fits within Him. Gilui Shechina is everywhere. Sometimes it'll be more easily perceptible, less perceptible, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there, even if it would appear ostensibly that He shouldn't be or that He's not. When we experience death, it doesn't feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. I don't feel very connected very much in the presence of Hashem when I've gone through the loss of a loved one. And we say, HaMakom Yenachem Eschem B'soch Sha'ar. We recognize that it's HaMakom. Hashem is Makomo Shalom. Hashem's here, even when it's tough. Poskim bring that what we're really supposed to say when we're wishing somebody a refuah shleima, Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, HaMakom Yishlach refuah shleima. HaMakom Yishlach refuah shleima, which I think is, we've sort of fallen out of habit, but a similar idea, similar thing. The Rav says one other point in, he actually has a we find it in Megillas Esther also. But probably more famously, Yaakov Avinu is leaving his parents' home, and he's en route to Galus for the first time in his life. Yaakov Avinu's never been outside of Eretz Yisrael in his life. David comes in for like 12 hours at a time. Like when he wants like a good coffee, he'll like come in and he'll like fly back. Right? Yaakov Avinu's never been out of Eretz Yisrael in his entire life, and he's about to leave his parents' home, and he's penniless, and Eliphaz took all of his money, and he's going to live with Lavan, who's just a nasty trickster, Oved Avodah Zarah. And he doesn't know what he's going to do, and you can imagine the anxiety. And he goes to, and he arrives at a place, and it says Vayifga b'makom. Vayifga b'makom pshuto shel nikra. He arrives at this place, the special place. But Chazal darshan that it means that he's engaging in tefillah with makom. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pierced him as makom? Because despite the fact that it appears you're leaving Eretz Yisrael, it means that there's no gilui shechina. It means that you're completely on your own. It means that you're abandoned. I am with you. Even when it seems ostensibly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not around, he actually is. Sir Soloveitchik says, it's not what you think. It's not. Where is this going? Oh, even in Mitzrayim. No. It's not what he says. Not even in Mitzrayim. If you keep on reading, it just mentioned, Kineged Arba'a Banim Dibra Torah. So Bishlam, if I'm sitting across from a Chacham, I'm sitting across from somebody who's very wise, and I get to have that dialogue, and I get to have that interchange. So of course, Gilishin, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be present, and I'll fulfill the mitzvah, and he'll be there, and we're going to light up the night. It's going to be great. It'll be like that Seder in B'nai Brak, and all night long, we're going to be darshani la, and who knows what time it is. We lose sense of the clock. It's all great. What happens if I'm sitting across from She'eno Yodei L'Shol? What happens if I'm from a She'eno Yodei L'Shol? What happens if I'm sitting across from a Russia? What happens if I'm sitting across from the guy that everybody in this room hates so much, and they're being moser nefesh to do chesed for that person? I'm sitting across from that guy. What happens if I'm sitting across from a Tom? I can barely get him to open up. So like, is there going to be any gilui shechina? Is there going to be any ability to convey Torah to this person? Baruch HaMakom, yes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekomo Shel Olam. There is no such thing as a Jew who doesn't have shaychus to the Torah. There's no such thing as a Jew that doesn't have shaychus to see Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's no such thing as a Jew that cannot engage in L'Saper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim, who can't be in it on his level. On his level, after Simchas Torah, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal and the first grader, they're all learning Parshas Bereishis. They're all learning the same text, different levels, different degree of depth, different insight, different mode. But everybody's learning the same text. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. HaMakom, it's going to be a beautiful Seder, irrespective of who's there. Talmud Torah, absolutely, everybody has a place. Comes full circle. Sometimes there is the kol dichtin yesei v'yechol. There's a pronounced need. There's something that I need to provide. You got to eat. You need a bed. You need a house. Sometimes you need to feel like you're included. Baruch HaMakom said everybody's included. Everybody's included. Chacham, Rasha, Tam, and Neir D'Elishol. Aziz and Pesach. Okay, we'll keep going next week. Mitzvah Hashem with Rav Usher Weiss.